Libby Purvis, Yachting Monthly, April 09. A message and a photo arrived the other day in Paul's inbox and put a spring in both our steps. It just showed a hunky, tanned Frenchman called Pascal sailing a blue Ness yole on the Lac du Derchantcoq in the Marne. We gazed at it with misty fondness and thanked Pascal because that boat was once family. Paul, in an outbreak of construction mania and nostalgia for northern waters, brought on by a particularly fine Shetland cruise, decided to build a Ness yole. The easiest way to do this is to buy a kit marketed in France, don't ask. It's just that the French are a lot better than we are at revering our small working boat heritage. So we took the ferry over with some friends, two lovely overnights to Roscoff and a great deal of hypermarket wine buying. We drove along the coast to the yard and strapped the bits onto the trailer to bring all the way home to Suffolk. Over that winter, Paul and Tom Stevens of this magazine laboured away, laying the keel, planking the planks, staring at blueprints, swearing a bit, and admiring the chunky French attention to detail in peg rollocks and laced gaff. At last, the yole was completed, painted deep black, rigged with its pretty brown sails, and christened, inevitably, the Vole. To be honest, the building was the point of it. It never did much sailing in our hands. Wrong sort of river, quite a heavy critter to launch on the slithery East Coast mudslips, and the rudder, as designed, needed to be shipped in deeper water than we get near the shore, and that year the beasts at the Aldborough Yacht Club got rid of the handy pontoon at our end of the dinghy park, which had made the yule far easier to rig afloat, merely so the plastic cowboys in RS-400s could crowd into the water more conveniently on their race days. So the Vole had just two triumphant and picturesque trips downriver to Shingle Street before we admitted that it was not like my lightweight dinghy, which can be launched and recovered by me alone for solitary sulks on the Auld. So the poor creature in its widow black paint stood around under the shed for a few years, making us guilty. It moved house with us, still rarely used. And then Pascal came and bought it, and in shining new blue paint she sails on, and a whole weight of guilt rolls off us like the white wake under her bow. It made me think about the afterlife of boats and the kind of gratitude and pleasure you feel when an old friend is sold on but known to be continuing in a useful and adventurous life. Our first shared boat, the Contessa 26, turns up from time to time in West Country harbours, and we always coo and wave and sneakily row up to pat her on the tow rail. Walks by Southwold Harbour are improved by a sight of Tinker 2, the rummer yawl, looking smart and cared for. And we long to know where in German waters is the Cornish pilot cutter Grace O'Malley, which took us and two small children round Britain 22 years ago, and in a frivolous aftermath travelled round Brittany too by going down the Rance Canal without the mast in and back up round Ushant. We last saw Grace in Falmouth. If you see her anywhere, drop us a line. This afterlife of a boat is actually more of an emotional thing even than the fate of a house you once lived in. A boat, after all, shared your adventures and your risks. It got you into trouble or out of it. It's an intimate relationship. When we bought Aisha, with her doughty history of being the GRP boat to have gone furthest south in the Antarctic ice field ever, with the intrepid Miles Quitman, we hoped Miles was glad to know that she'd not been relegated to sedate family cruises up and down the coast, but has had at least one wild adventure in Paul's Ostar and a couple of trips to the Azores. And perhaps she will see Panama and the Pacific one more time at least. Everyone who's had boats must know this sense of satisfaction or disappointment in their afterlife. Here's a graceful cruising boat of the 50s on which someone has built a bizarre garden shed of a pilot house. Here's a Maurice Griffiths original rigged up with a weird metal mast and rechristened with an embarrassing name. But I suppose the saddest thing would be to see a boat which you had taken on great adventures being neglected, rotting away in a corner, doing nothing. I would rather have it used as a hen house than that.